Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Horsemanship Remark Show. I think I got it right this morning. Pretty close to on time, yeah? So, here we are, the day after Valentine's. It is February 15th, 2024. And you guys, we have had the most beautiful weather, really, over the last 2 weeks. And then yesterday, it was like lame. It was so bad because when it gets to be, you know, 36 and foggy and just pouring down rain. Meanwhile, we'd had sunshine, etc. So I'm sure a bunch of you guys are in the same boat. However, Jody, good morning. I was thinking that when I get to River Falls next week, it's actually supposed to be like a low of 22 and over freezing, above freezing in the during the day. So I was like, oh man. Do I even need to bring all my clothes? Debbie, good morning, you're awake. Wendy, good morning. Do you suppose Michael's here? I can check to find out. He is, oh, before, you guys, before we get rolling, I have some flags because, you know, it's been so wet and gross and I've been in my round pen a bunch and my flags are totally destroyed. So I have some new flags and I do have some extra if you guys want to buy. This is my favorite one right here. This one people like really a lot, and then I personally like this one as well. So hit me up if you want those. I have, I don't know, maybe five or six of them. They're $35 plus shipping, so you can just send me a little message if you want one. We can be flag twinsies. All right, let's Faith, good morning. Let's see if Michael is here this morning or not. Michael, here he is. Yeah. Good. Peggy, good morning. Love the heart flag. Well, Faith, hit me up. Which one? I love the white with the pink heart. To me, that is my absolute favorite. Hard to top that one. Unless you had teal with a white heart, but I can't find the teal material. But like Tiffany blue with a white flag. I mean, with a white heart.
Wait till you see mine. It doesn't have a white heart.
I saw it in the thing. I was like, oh, those are pretty cool. So
yeah, that's blue, white, and gray.
Very, very cool. Very cool.
We call it the professional flag.
Yeah. So mine are, what size are yours? Because I have the big, I made mine the size that I like.
Yeah, which, mine are pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know exactly.
I don't like them. Yeah, they can't be like ridiculously big, but yeah, Buck uses a tiny one. Sometimes, other times, but
I can't remember who told me. Maybe it was Nate. Someone told me that Mary made him flags that were a little bigger.
Yeah,
and that's what he preferred. But yeah, he uses that little ripped up one that he's probably been using for 15 years.
They don't right now last 15 years. That's the thing.
So I have. flag, I don't know if it, I ordered it and it showed up from Freckers. It's a double diamond deal, or maybe it was on a flag that I picked up at a buck clinic, but it's crazy because it's almost, like with the material mylar or whatever that a balloon, the mylar balloons are made of, right? It's not that material, but it has that kind of crinkly, doesn't have a soft, flowy feel. And Eva, who's interning with me, had it the other day. And she's like, do you have a different flag? This one just doesn't feel right. It's like, you are on it. Like, you can tell when a flag feels right and when it doesn't. So I told her, well, just hold the end of the flag in the sand and drag it through the sand for about 15 minutes. And it'll probably break down and soften that kind of, you know, if you get like a tent material or something, it's kind of crinkly. Yeah, That's what it is.
The only problem with having sand in the flag is it really does get on you.
Only if sand is wet.
Yeah, that's true, but the sand.
No, but this one, just using the sand to abrade the flag and soften the.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. Good morning, Susan. Yes, I think I got everybody else. But,
you know,
I haven't done.
Sand the worst for sticking to things, at least in my experience, is the magnesium chloride or any of that to keep the moisture in the sand.
That
Oh,
stuff
that's the
stinks.
worst.
That I don't know that that whole deal is gonna last. It was a good idea. It sounded like a good idea, but
I feel like they've been using it for years and years. But
It's interesting some of the state-of-the-art footing that people like sort of like on one hand, and then maybe sort of don't, like at the World Equestrian Center. It's like this super fancy DG, but I've heard people say it's too grippy, kind of. And it's very, very different than what most people have. So anyway, it's always interesting. I think wet sand mixed with dirt is my favorite. Well,
then
Gary
it's a wet
Bailey
wet.
has the best footing. Like if I
It's
had unlimited resources, I would have it trucked from wherever he's getting it.
what is it? Just a sand that is it shifty? No.
No, it's perfect. It is literally perfect. I don't, just lucky, maybe he knows how to water it, but it's good. It's really good.
My
Anyway.
favorite thing is up in Canada in Susan's place, because they have just the right texture mixture of sand, and then they have a product on it called Arena Clean, which the original product was called Dirt Glue, and it is not cheap. It is probably the most effective or most expensive dust remedy situation, but you literally do not have to water, and her footing is the same every day. No dust, no watering. It's pretty incredible.
That sounds
I
amazing.
am very jealous.
That sounds. Get rid of my tea bag here. So, why don't you start talking? Because you're the one who has interesting things straight away that I don't want to miss. But you guys also say what
Let
else
me
is on your
finish
mind.
that conversation with if anyone has wild, great ideas for arena footing and dust suppression and all of that that I don't know about, send them my way because I'm trying to figure out how to improve our footing. But anyway, what to talk about? So I've been thinking a lot lately because I've got some of these horses that just the spookiness in the corner persists day after day, or going out on trail persists. How to describe and characterize it? It improves. Like, let's say going out down the road, it's been really wet, and now we got like 8 inches of snow or something like that, 5 inches. So the ground's been wet, haven't been off the road, so this isn't wonderful. You're on pavement or on kind of gravelly, sandy edges of the road where you're not going to rip things up. But going down the road, you're kind of a little bit limited as to how much you can move the horse's feet. So groundwork, pretty darn solid, not 100%, but improving all the time, especially like with Heidi, the German riding pony would kind of always have her head cocked to the side when she was going around to the right. That's improving, but it's the first thing to kind of lock back in if she's worried or tight or whatever. So you can get them turned loose. I've talked about this last week, I think. On the middle, so on and so forth, groundwork, riding. And then as you expand it out from there, it's like, yeah, why is this rectangle, the piece within the rectangle, not transferable on the level I'd like it to be? Right? And so it feels like, okay, they understand there's peace in the rectangle, and they're believing that more and more. They're truly in the rectangle more and more. Heidi's a little different case than Ren. I'll talk about in a minute, but when you hit and shit hits the fan, or shit doesn't even have to hit the fan, but you go somewhere else, and they're going, I'm more concerned about that than I am believing that the piece in the rectangle is going to be enough. And then your comment last week was, well, how good is there being in the rectangle, really, really out in the open? So I've been thinking about that, and do agree. Like I said, it's good. It's getting better all the time in terms of like truly being round all the way through the horse, not having that little kink in the jaw, so on and so forth. But
Do you want me to comment on that video that you sent me?
we're getting there. And
The
then you can come.
one? The other one?
Oh, the other one? I don't remember what was the other one? What did I send you?
You sent me a horse that was, you asked if it was accurate enough.
Oh,
This was yesterday morning.
I didn't even remember that oh yeah. Because then we were going to talk about it and we didn't. And that was Heidi, right? That was a little bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's the one that has her jaw crooked until she doesn't. And okay, so we'll have the conversation here rather than talking about it yesterday. So that video, it was a fairly short snippet, like a minute, I think. That was after having gone into the spot where she has a hard time staying in the rectangle, mentally and physically. Even if I can, with a little bit of time and moving her feet, get her in the rectangle physically, it is largely just physical and she's still obsessing about stuff around her. So what I did, and this is what I was gonna describe to you yesterday, what I was hoping to do, but well, not even hoping to do it. In hindsight, what I wanted to do and what I'll do maybe next week sometime is film the accuracy of the rectangle kind of at the beginning, out in the open, where it just slots right in, working right where we're working, trying to ask for more life, ask for transitions, and not have her kind of go into that. Okay, more pressure, and so now my jaw is going to get all crooked. So get it, to show you what the rectangle actually looks like when it's super accurate. Then go into, okay, now we're on the edge or into where we're definitely bothered by something. And now we are working to say, hey, physically stay in the rectangle, but mentally she is really struggling to leave that aside and go, I'm okay in the rectangle. So the video I sent you was post having gone into the worried spot and then coming out of there shortly after coming back away from the area that was bothering her to the center and then going, okay, so how accurate is it? And it wasn't accurate. I mean, it was like lots of reminding, lots of sloppy. It wasn't like she just slotted in, at least to my feeling. I don't know what you're I'm interested to hear what you'd say on it, but was decent-ish, but she was running into the rope. She had her head cocked. She was needing kind of constant fixing to be like, no, truly find the rectangle here. When I go for your hindquarters, don't have this drifting off bit happening higher percentage of the time than it would occasionally happen. Like, you're not leaning on the rope, but you're not inside the rectangle physically right now either. Like you were before having gone over there, right? So kind of three bits, like we're pretty darn accurate in the rectangle. We go kind of over to here to where you are a little bothered by things, and then it gets all worked up where we're staying in the rectangle, but we're not comfortable in the rectangle. And then we come back out and it's kind of all a little sloppy now. Now, all that being said, what's frustrating, well, no, you tell me what your thoughts were watching the video based on that description right there. How accurate.
So you guys, he sent me a video, just a short clip of, basically just generally forward and around hindquarters, forequarters with this particular horse. Looked very bendy and pretty good. But right away, what I noticed the most is the lack of life. And I'm sure that you were trying to, or you were, I mean, emphasizing that it wasn't the opposite of like melting down and too much movement. However, when you ask me, essentially, is this good enough or is this accurate enough? I would say no, because it didn't have enough life. And in my view, you need life as well as all the rest of that. And I guess, how would you say that for people who like there needs to be some life is really the best word, but energy is like some lightness in the way that the horse is moving as well.
So that's what's once everything disconnects and goes back to the way it had been, where there's lot, like you said, lots of bendiness, but the bendiness disconnects from the hind end, or it's sort of connected to the hind end, but there's that just crookedness and guarded, or not even, it doesn't even feel guarded, it just feels blanked out. Or that's, what it was, and I've kind of found her way out of that, and then you can say, okay, now like give me some life. But if you add in that situation after having been kind of worked up over here and whatever, or it was over here a minute ago, adding more life in terms of come forward and around, like we didn't have forward and around like we needed. All right, so adding more life just crooked, makes the jaw more
But
crooked. It
it also could fix the crookedness, right?
could, yet that's not been how I got her round. Where it's like, here, slot in, and just you're okay. You don't need to be guard. And then from there, it's like, okay, now let's put some life and power in here while you're like committed to what we're doing.
Yeah, and
And it's the
what
same with
else?
the yard too.
Sure.
Like,
But you saw on
if
the
you say, give me more life, it's like, sure, I'll give you more life, and I will leave to the outside like I did, pull the rope out of your hands like I was doing before you got here. And she doesn't even think about pulling the rope out of your hands now. But as soon as you say, do more, if she's not really committed and believing, and that's the biggest thing I've been somehow with her, I'm seeing, because she's very boxy. I don't know, I'm all over the place here, but she's very boxy, and to try to seeing her rib cage kind of block in or move out, for some reason it's her body style
this is the
causing.
fjord you're talking about?
Now I'm talking about the fjord. Like I said, I'm all over the place.
Okay.
Something about her body style is,
There's like a potato.
yeah, I mean, it's just not near as bendy as, how many other horses you work with. But, she can wrap around,
boogers.
like we have really good flexion through the head and neck and a connection to the hind end. When we have a connection to the hind end, it's not consistent. Because when you ask for more life, she kind of just goes right into the rope. If you're putting too much, if it's too much makey, here's a good word for you. Add that to our lexicon.
Yeah, well, so I saw an ad for a horse the other day. No, not a bucker, but a runawayer. Runner awayer. And
Running.
I was like,
Buck here, but a runner away.
Not a bucker, but a runner awayer.
So anyway, the way with her, and the reason I jumped to her is it's kind of been another example of like,
Like you lose
oh, you're good.
the deal once you add life is your point,
Well,
right? That
once
that's
you add pressure, because to her, pressure, because to get some life, you're like, chop, chop, like, let's do something.
Okay, so tell me what your thoughts are regarding that after watching the marshmallow.
Well, the marshmallow knew forward and around, and that's what I'm working for with these. Because
He did, but he wasn't into it though.
no, I mean, I wasn't into putting in life and slotting in, but he knew where to find it in relatively short order. So you could be like, no, a little more life, a little more life. And he was going forward and around.
Do you want to say the ISO just really quick?
Well, I can look at your reel for my ISO. A potato that.
So you guys, we're looking for a horse here because these guys were a bit dissatisfied with the marshmallow videos just because he did have a lot of things on the menu just from, back in the day. And you also have to give credit to whomever has had him and had him now. He's super bendy, united too, and definitely understood for coming into the Slack, Michael, that we really should talk about that. I have a bunch of different blog posts mostly done, you guys. And then I want to jump to this going into the Slack versus hitting the end of the rope or finding the end of the rope.
Which you're welcome, everyone, because I totally
I said it.
you should probably clarify. Well, what I said is you should probably clarify what you mean by that so it's not misunderstood.
This is true. Okay, so we're going to come back to that in
We
just a
are
second because
all over the place right now. We have six
I know
topics.
we have to tighten it up a little bit, otherwise people are going to be mad. Okay, but you guys, does it make sense when I say I want my horse to go into the Slack? Yes or no? No. Thumbs up. Well, don't do the thumbs down. That's sad. But write yes or no in the thing so I can see. Okay, Michael, this is what we're essentially though talking about. We're talking about horses that are spooky, and I just had a super stressed out day with Novella, so I definitely have been thinking about this as well, where she was just bothered. So the question is, A, how do you get a horse to truly be with you in the rectangle, mentally, emotionally, physically? Susan, yes, good. When there is exterior stress, from the outside. And then the question is, how accurate and good is your groundwork away from the scary corner, let's say, the boogie monster or whatever? Is it good? And how good does it need to be so that it carries to some degree? And the horse isn't just going through the motions, or isn't just staying in the rectangle, or isn't just partially staying there. Okay? We've all gone through this. The horse, we think we have it, and then suddenly, depending, and this could be gradients of exposure as well, but then for whatever reason, we don't have it. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. And then, so there's a couple different horses that Michael is working with. Well, three really, but one of two that are especially challenged with the corner. One of them is hot and cold, right? The one you're talking about that I saw the video yesterday. And the other one is very much able to move her feet, do the thing, but isn't finding the
About that much of her brain is required
yes, right.
to be accurate physically, and you have a pretty good hindquarter, forequarter united circle
With life.
around with life, backing, drawing. I mean, she can do it all, but I have very little of her mind, even as she's doing it accurately. She knows the dance.
Okay, so what we're essentially talking about is a kind of a finished result in the groundwork in a reasonable environment, and how can we carry that to a more stressful environment? And this could be the difference, you guys, between like the middle of the rectangle and the scary corner,
The
right?
middle of the arena.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. The middle of the arena versus the scary corner. And we got to be like, okay, well, how is it? Like, do we have all the things that we want? All things being ideal. And now let's suss out what is falling apart as we get some exterior influence, because it's all very well and good to be standing still and having the horse cope until they start moving their feet. And then this is the challenge, which is why when I'm referring to the video he showed me yesterday, the horse in the ideal situation, so in the middle of the arena, the horse was united. Pretty good, pretty bendy. But the movement was too far to the side of dull. And like my impression when I'm looking at that, for the horses I'm working with, or if I'm looking at somebody else's horse, there's an impression of being too far rooted in the ground. And we don't want the horse stuck in the ground. But there's degrees of that, right? So the reason I brought up the marshmallow video, yes, he did have those things on the menu. However, what he needed to have in order for me to feel satisfied was he needed to be able to apply that life in an accurate, consistent, half circle, both directions. So yes, he
Well,
knew
and stepping
it.
back from there, again, what is your order of things? Stepping back from there, he needs to stay forward and around this side of the end of the lead rope,
With life.
united with life. Because that's, I mean, we're talking two horses that have been lunged a lot and poorly with their nose to the outside. And the one gotten to the point where she turns away. So add life, and they go, okay, here's where I check out and put my head on
That's
sideways.
a rough deal.
And neither of them are necessarily scared. They're just put off by being asked to add life
Well, and not knowing
because
where it
of how
goes.
it ran. Yeah.
And
And
not
so,
knowing where it should go.
yeah.
And this is brings me back to having my horse know that they should come forwards into the slack. Like,
Did anyone else say yes or no, or just Susan understands me?
Susan, I think, let's see. Oh yeah, so they all understand it. Susan says yes, Val says yes, Debbie says yes, Jody says yes, Corey says yes, Faith says yes, and Wendy says yes. So Michael's concerned that people aren't going to understand it.
Ill-founded.
Don't know. These guys are all pretty on it. But okay, so you follow me though? The thing is that we're going to use the when we're talking about accuracy enough that now we can start challenging it, we're going to use isolating the hindquarters and the forequarters and coming forward united to then hopefully add up to coming forwards into the slack around with life. So it was like you had everything except the last piece. Now, what I hear you saying is that when you add the last piece, things were gonna fall apart. I would also say that if there's a horse that's
At
super.
that point, if I'd filmed the like before scary part and then coming out of it, or worked at it for a while, got her, round, and then tried to add life, like again, filmed the before going into the worried corner. Groundwork is pretty dang solid. She understood. She didn't have to cock her jaw, connecting, forward and around. She knew where to be, and I could add life right up to a trot, into a lope, and she was like, I'm there.
Okay, so to be fair, so she had it all on the menu, right? Okay. So after she's been worried, then she can put everything together except for the life.
No, then everything goes back to kind of the little bit disconnection, nose to tail or nose to hind leg, cocking the jaw, just kind of an empty feeling where I'm doing this, but I'm not really connected in it, which would be the same with the gray mirror I sent you the video of, but she does it constantly.
Well,
After that little clip I sent you, I mean, you just keep going, and before
yeah,
too long, we're
right.
back to we can
And you
slide,
need that.
we can add life, and that's the other thing that's kind of wild with her is every ride. Well, first of all, not every ride is she even necessarily worried about the corner. Sometimes I do my groundwork, work my way in there, and she can handle it, and that helps her. We get on and we go. Other times I get on, having not taken her down there, and she's a little worried going down there. I'll do just having ridden down there, hindquarters, forequarters, walk through, circle back, figure eights, whatever, and then we kind of get over it fairly quickly. And some of those rides, I mean, it's just like everything's really nice, flowing around, following a rein, all the things we were missing when, where we started. She wasn't following a rein, there just wasn't connection to her front feet, hind feet, whatever. And the inside rein was not enough. And we're getting to where that's much more consistent, where she's not
Well,
if you don't have that outside rein. Anyway, so we can have rides where that is just pretty good, and we can go through that end with minimal help right off the bat. Other rides is like that end is just trouble, and you can spend your whole time just saying, we got to get comfortable with this, and we got to walk through here. And we get it every time. Loose rein, walk, trot. But it's not walk, trot through the whole arena, and like now you're out of time. We've gotten through there, but it's not like it doesn't exist, and I could do my whole thing and go through there. Like we've got to where we're fine. We are truly mentally in the rectangle. We've turned loose, but we don't have time to basically do our ride, right? The whole time we've been
Okay,
in the rectangle through this area.
so is it getting better? Because you guys, what I say is, and Michael's heard this forever, and it's good for me to say to myself too, better is better. Progress is progress. So if something is working, it's very important to diagnose that.
Well, that's what's difficult is you'll have a couple rides where you're like, okay, this is better. And then you have
Sure.
a ride where it's just a meltdown again. And it's like, well, is this getting better?
Okay.
Or like
But
I'll go out and ride around, and I'll do it for a few days, down the road, whatever. And at first everything was just like kind of pretty very aware of everything, and now it's aware of some things, but still able to kind of hang into the rectangle, not looking to check out, not standing there trembling with all 4 feet as wide as you can, ready to flee. So it is getting better, but then I'm going, okay, going down the road. Yes, I'm kind of putting her back in the rectangle, and we're not running off. We're not just leaving. But I'm not able to always work. Well, I'm not able to do hindquarters, forequarters going down the pavement. So you're kind of
it's
just tucking her back in.
scary,
Right?
Lori.
It's not always real fun. Tucking her in, blocking with two reins, saying not stay in the rectangle, and then giving her slack. So at that point, yes, I'm saying stay in the rectangle. But it is getting better, it seems, more through exposure.
Sure.
Whereas in the
Of course.
arena, it's like, okay, at what point are you just using exposure to get better versus the rectangle is actually getting better? The piece in the rectangle is transferable.
But it does sound like it's all getting better. I would also just say the obvious, you guys, I would get off across the pavement. If it was me, I would be off my horse. And I would also be very careful even off my horse across the pavement because we know somebody whose horse slipped on the pavement and killed himself. The horse did. Died right there because it slipped and fell.
I do not like
I know.
that we have pavement down
Well, your pavement is amazing,
for
you
driving
know.
and keeping
Yeah. Yeah, it
whatever,
looks
keeping cars
fantastic.
and whatever,
Yeah.
but it's not ideal for being around the barn where
Yeah. It's the one thing as a realtor, people looking for horse property, you know, and it's like, oh, this black top. Oh, wow, it's amazing. It looks so great. And then for a horse person, though, it's like that's actually not ideal, you know. Anyway, so Joanne asks if you've trailered to other environments.
no, not since I've been here.
So this is it's a very good topic. And I would say it's a formula, but one that has I don't know if that's technically the deal, but it is a formula. You have two pieces. So exposure and movements that add up to peace in the rectangle. Right? And so you have to just do your best. And obviously, you're diving into some technical aspects of that. But part of, I think, what we have to do to diagnose those specific horses is to take the totality of a week or 2 weeks, let's say, and be like, okay, is this getting better? When we zoom into, let's say, the accuracy of the curriculum, we zoom into exposure and handling things. Is the overall effect getting better or not?
So now the video, the little snippet I showed you from last night. So this is the Lusitano Andalusian filly. And she's the one that can do it all with her hands tied behind her back. Small fraction of her brain required to stay in the rectangle, do my thing. And her brain, the other 95%, can be over the place. Thinking about this, looking at that, getting a little tight right there. So last night I was thinking, mentally, physically, 100% in the rectangle. If you're not in the rectangle, you're not in the rectangle. If you're not in the rectangle mentally, you're not in the rectangle. So,
Completely,
yeah.
yeah.
So, I think when I decided to shoot that video for you, we'd been at it for a while yet. I'd already stripped up off all my layers because that's pretty
Was
hard.
like, do all I need to do is some laps in that arena next week and I'll be in a t-shirt? That sounds great.
Well, I'm also very quick to overheat these days, but yeah. So I was warm. She wasn't sweating though, which is interesting. But she wasn't really doing that much outside of constantly moving, constantly changing. So watching the video, it didn't look as extreme as it felt.
Sure, I can appreciate that. So tell the people though what the video was so they can
Okay, so it.
connect.
The video is a snippet of me basically doing this. Anytime her eyes went anywhere other than me, or an ear flicked somewhere, that was like, I'm paying attention to that, not you. I changed what I was doing. And this amounted to probably not more than one or two steps moving the hindquarters, one or two steps moving the forequarters, one or two steps coming forward, one. And so I'd be moving her forequarters, and it would be just darn accurate over the hind end. But As she's doing it, it's not just, okay, I'm going over here. I'm looking at that while I'm doing this four-quarter yield. So immediately I just like back up and draw her toward me. Or right there, I'd say, well, we're done with the four-quarter yield. Back up 3 steps and now move your hindquarters and then come toward me and then back up. And now let's go back. And, backing a circle, back me kind of saying back, but keep your eyes on me. I mean, I was using everything, but I was not able to do any one of those things for more than a couple steps before she went, that's going to draw my attention. And I mean, it felt like, I won't say it felt like utter chaos because she was pretty on it, even as quick as I was changing and as much of her mind as was elsewhere. She was pretty well able to track, but it felt like chaos in that. Like there wasn't any settling into a
A
movement.
string of movements,
Yes, well, there was certainly a string of movements,
right,
but
but
it
there
wasn't
wasn't
like, oh, here's a
settling.
flowing united circle, or here, let's do a flowing hindquarter yield. It's like, well, we get a step or two, and now she's off over there. So change it up because we could do, I mean, I could flow the hindquarters for 15 steps. And it wouldn't result in her going, okay, now I'm going to slot in and melt into this. She physically was bendy, accurate, all of that.
And that bears saying that the reason that this strategy was even on the table is because of her level of accuracy, being on time to respond, understanding what to do,
But
your
think
accuracy.
she was so quick to learn.
Yes, Julie, that's exactly what I was thinking too.
She was so quick to learn all this that by the time, in the time it took her to figure it all out, the movements, the united arc, that is like, well, that was easy, but it's not enough to keep my mind busy from everything else. So she could be in the rectangle, but never finding peace in the rectangle because she was still everywhere.
That's right.
So, I mean, I've done hindquarters, forequarters, up and down the pen. I've, walk, trot, lope, yield the hindquarters, hindquarters, forequarters, change direction, walk, trot. I mean, just kind of going through the paces, leading her by on the fence, backing up, trotting forward. Busy-ish stuff. I mean, the kind of stuff that would keep most horses going, oh, I gotta kind of be paying attention here. I gotta find what's going. I keep running into the end of the rope, or, I was a little late there. I better pay attention. With her, she's like, I got it. Know, what to do, but it is not capturing me because it doesn't take enough of my brain to do it. So anyway, the video I sent, it literally felt like I couldn't do much more than a step or two of anything before I said, okay, now let's do this. And then as soon as she kind of basically looked at me without immediately flicking an ear somewhere else, I just kind of stop asking anything. And generally at that point, I was backing away, just going, there you go. And there were kind of three I mentioned in the video, kind of what she was doing with her mouth. Sometimes she slot into me, but be pretty tight in her mouth. And so, and this is more early on, I'd kind of help her and just stick my thumb in her mouth and get her to work her jaw. And somewhat early on, as she'd slot into me, and I just kind of back it all down, stop keeping her busy. As soon as I softened there because I could, she would work her mouth on her own, not me having to stick with them. By the end, she was working her mouth while still in motion just before she truly locked into me and let go of everything else. So it was interesting how that kind of progressed too, because I was right off the bat going, okay, you're slotting into me, but you're still not turned loose. Like we've done enough that you can't be distracted without me doing enough to say, you gotta pay attention. We're so busy here. Even if it means we're not finding a flow, although there was kind of a flow watching the video. Like I said, it didn't look as crazy as it felt. I think it would look more crazy if she hadn't been accurate, but she was pretty darn accurate.
It, that's to me, it just bears noting that, yeah, you can't really do it the way you were doing it if things are s just sloppy and dull and pulley and, you know, inaccurate. Like, I would say in that application, you would go through and, you know, make things a bit better, but because the act of making it better takes brain cells, because the horse isn't, you know, isn't better.
And what was kind of cool is the more kind of busy that got and constantly switching, she got more accurate than when she was using that 5% of her brain cells to say go up and down the pen using hindquarters, forequarters, because she'd go, okay, I know the dance, I can do it. But then if something caught her attention too much, though she knew the dance, she would like kind of
It's a good point.
forget that she was doing the dance, right? Because
Yeah,
she
so
could.
think about how that relates to if a horse is standing still and you're letting him look off, thinking you have something of value because the feet are still. It's the same concept, right? As you're doing your half circle exercise up and down the pen, if the horse is only giving you you know, less than 50, less than 100% of being in the rectangle, it works for a while until something else. So the same thing, if you had your horse standing still and they're looking off, looking off, looking off, then as soon as something draws their attention enough, it will, you know, it's the same. That is the same.
So what occurred to me after just going, okay, I'm as crazy as it feels, not going to do anything waiting for you to mentally come back to me while continuing the same thing. I'm going to change to influence you coming back to me, even if it feels like we are not doing anything. So what occurred to me as I was doing that was this is what gets the rectangle to be transferable. And I have to think about this more. And the tough part is, like you said, it has to be that accurate for that to work. You can't make them pay attention to you and just be like, hey, pay attention in here. I mean, it has to be, they have to make the decision, they have to find it. But at least with her, excuse me, at least with her, that's what's going to make the piece transferable, is to say there is nothing of value outside of being here.
Yeah, and one thing that I don't want to forget as I'm thinking, because of course it reminds me of Bonnie, right? Who can go through the motions like a lot. And then it can get pretty dramatic if she, you could think, if you weren't looking for a flow, a whole energy flow through her body, doesn't look tight when it's half-assed. Sort of looks accurate, right? But there is definitely a difference, which I wouldn't know if I hadn't played with her to see. There's a difference between when all of the energy flows and then that is accurate. But that is a rough deal because you're talking about all the molecules coming
Yes,
together.
because it's not just the flow there,
Yeah.
but it's the flow, like the flow is not just physical. The flow is
Although it
mentally tied
manifests
in.
itself, physically. Yeah. It's harder to see.
But it's mentally tied in. because they can be flowing more so physically than just going through the motions. Like it can truly have energy, but if they're not like really thinking and feeling of you, it's still, half-assed, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and
Still
of
not.
course, what we all want to know is how do we get it complete? That's what we all care about, right? How do we get it complete? And the first, by the way, Julie, I would agree with all of what you saw, and the first thing is to notice that there's a difference, which isn't always easy. Because it's subtle, even on a horse you know really well, let alone a horse you don't have a baseline for. Harder. Okay, these are the differences. And you somehow some you have to have some data points to cover a cowboy.
Val, is it regional or maybe British English versus English, just say data versus data, or is one correct versus the other?
Yeah, I'd be interested to what she has to say because my understanding is that one of them is a bunch of data points and one of them is a data point. I'm
There's a data.
pretty sure you say data is
A
like a
collect
bunch
data.
and I'm pretty sure, but
I think
somebody can look it up.
that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
I didn't look into it. We were talking about this the other day. That's what
I
I
feel
meant.
like a data point is correct, but I get them opposite, so I don't know for sure. But I guess the point is you have to go to, I'm just saying from experience with Bonnie, let's say she's a really good example. I mean, Nathan can attest to when you think everything is good and then it's like that was not it at all, versus when it is right, it sticks. It sticks. It can be challenged. It does work. But if you hadn't tested it, it's harder to see, right? So be gentle with yourselves as you're collecting data, but try to memorize the differences, the subtle differences when it is complete, because you will have times so when it is, when it's complete versus just try to remember when it didn't stick, be like, okay, what was missing? And that's a little bit what we're trying to suss out with these horses, right, Michael? Is trying to determine like, okay, what isn't there before things don't stick. I'll be so interested to hear how it goes with that Lusitano because what you were doing looked like you were capturing when he was zoned in. So, and it repeated.
Yeah, I mean, it was wild. It was wild and it worked. And like I said, it felt way more because it almost felt a little bit unfair at times. It's like, well, we're moving your forequarters to the right, and now I'm suddenly leading you to the left. Like it was almost to the point of trying to think about your feet and do this still as a dance where I'm not in your way. But there were times where it's like, how do you take a four-quarter yield going right and suddenly draw them off to the left?
Yeah,
Know, like,
that's where you get accurate with the feet, right?
yeah.
Like the foot has to land before you ask it to do something else.
Yeah. So, but flowing some things together that don't easily flow together.
Make it harder. That's the thing. And not harder in the sense that the horse can't do it, but just that it takes more mental engagement.
But that's the crazy thing. Like I was saying, she was actually, the more I did, the more accurate she became. Because I was getting larger and larger percentages of her brain.
Which makes Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it absolutely does make sense, but it's not, it just wasn't, it didn't feel like it had a flow given how quick the changes were coming. But like, watching the video, it didn't look like it didn't have a flow. It kind of did because she was there with her body,
Yeah, and it would have more of a flow as you practiced it more and more, having to think about what to do, because it probably at a certain point you will just have an impression of what it feels like and what your body would do when you need to up level it like that, versus you were having to think, what should I do now? What should I do now? What should I do now? Datum is what Julie says. The plural is datum. I've never heard that before, so just shows what I don't know.
Yeah,
Jean.
makes me wonder, like as we're going along here, at what point does the involved dance we were doing yesterday almost become like, oh yeah, I can do it. Like I don't think it's possible because it was just like literally anytime she looked off, I was do something else.
Yeah, and that's where, for her, since you had so many pieces on the table, then you could ask her to do things in an order that wasn't predictable to her.
Yeah. But
And that is what she has to be dialed in, because she doesn't know the order, versus if you're doing the half circle up and down the pen, it is very predictable, which is a super benefit in a lot of situations. But in a situation where the horse can like mail it in because it's so predictable, then you have two choices: either have a completely different level of quality that she is supposed to get, or do things that aren't that predictable. Jean says, "What mental image are you sending to your horse?" That's a good question. And then Val says, "Data is predominantly U.S. and Aussie." Data is predominantly New Zealand. Not sure about the Canadians. Either is correct. Susan says data. Yeah, interesting. So what Im mental image are you sending to your horses?
You know what a cone is in Canadian? Like the orange that we have in the arena that you use as obstacles?
I should know this since I grew up there. Yeah, no, I
Maybe
don't.
it's just Ontario. Maybe they're the
Yeah,
weird,
I don't.
the pylon.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember that as much, because a pylon is a concrete cylinder that is either used for bridges or at the edge of a seawall or something like that. A pylon.
Oh,
Wow.
like you said the pylon. I'm like, what is a pylon?
That's so fun. Different things. Okay, so what mental image are you sending to her whilst you are asking her to be super duper dialed in so you can switch movements unpredictably and accurately?
Well, I don't know that there was a, in this case, an image as much as a feeling, but more, and that's not the right word,
You know what I think
a
of it as?
invitation, a draw, but more of a, more than that even. It's like this desperate isn't the right word because it wasn't a I'm desperate, but it's like this, you can do it, like please just find the answer. So
I can take a mental
well, not
break.
so I can take a mental break, but so we can have what I'm trying to help you find. Right? It's like this overwhelming, encouraging feeling of let's do this. I guess is how I'd describe it.
I sometimes think of it as like a basket get kind of like, come on, here it is. Like, people would say a target. Clipper trainer would call it a target, but
That's why I use a bag of treats.
I have a dog bed in the new border collie. I'm like, get in your basket. She's doing all sorts of things. I'm like, in your basket. It's a target, of course, but I guess the difference is when we're hunting a feel like that, it is more of a lining up. Slotting in is what I say, but once again, some people don't like that I say that. But doesn't it make sense? Is it a Canadian thing? Where like the pennies drop in the, or is that just a Gen X thing? Joanne says toilet paper is called whiz wipe in Canadian. Seriously? I obviously grew up on the west coast of Canada, so none of these things sound right to me. Maybe it's because it was so long ago.
The
Anyway.
Canadians are probably all gonna be like, Joanne, what the hell are you talking about?
Whiz wipe. I mean, I suppose that's a direct translation. So, when it comes down to what you're projecting to the horse, and this is the important thing, if we dial all the way back into how do we apply these weedy ideas, we have to break down the pieces of the curriculum so that we know for sure that the horse, that these things are on the menu. Then we need to, in ourselves, intellectually understand what we're looking for. That we want the horse mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually to be collected and connected. Okay. So then, once we understand both of those things intellectually, I think both of those things can be understood by the horse intellectually as well. Intellectually understand the curriculum, they intellectually understand that you want them to be whole and in the rectangle. But then when it comes to applying it, this is now where we do have to talk about quality. Because there are exterior forces that affect the horse. And also, Michael, this is where partially the exposure component comes into it, right? Is that the horse has to collect datum regarding context. So I guess in the end, what it comes down to is showing the horse the middle of the rectangle, showing the horse how to get there, and then showing the horse that they can get there in different situations. It's all very easy to say. And side note, you all not only are current exterior forces at play, the horse's memories, right? What they've lived are at play. What has worked or not worked for them is at play. I'm telling you guys, I've been riding Novella a couple times in the round pen just because I thought it'd be fun to be able to not have to steer, basically, and to feel her gaits and things like that. But she has such a negative association with what she has experienced in the round pen. It's opened a whole nother set of things to work on. That what I keep thinking about over the last few days is how strong that is in her, the memory of those bad feelings. And the context that, okay, now we're in this situation, and it made me feel really bad before. So a whole bunch of things that she and I have going on in like ex situations that would be you would think would be more extreme than that are far less challenging for her mentally, emotionally than being in our round pen that she goes in at night by herself. She doesn't live out, but she has access to it, I guess we would call that an exterior force. You guys, I don't know if we want to talk, say that that's an exterior force and an interior force, but I mean, it's so obvious. And not that, I mean, the process of working through it is the same. I just have to be like, okay, so in this situation, I have to use all the things that I know to do to help you to feel better regarding all of this. And then off we go, versus, maybe we go to a cow sorting that she's never been around, and I just crawl on and off we go because there's nothing haunting her.
So how much is that like, these mares that have been lunged, one to the point of saying, I'm checking out. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Here we go. Okay, I can be turned loose doing all that. I'm cool. I can, do all the things and do all the things accurately. One position and then take it outside and then take it elsewhere. As long as we don't start to feel like it's lunging, then I'm like, not fan of this because this is where all the pressure comes in and I just track out. Or I can be pretty turned loose, but you go to put a saddle on and ooh, this has not worked out in the past. I can be pretty turned loose, and I go to put a bridle on, and the mouth just clamps shut because this has not worked out in the past, or whatever those. I can be pretty turned loose, and then you put me in front of a trailer, and I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. So there are a lot of different context clues that.
For sure. And then sometimes you'll get a whole, like a domino that'll conquer in a good way, a whole bunch, right? So I'm very interested to report back about this round pen thing. I think it's going to be a big deal, honestly. I wonder how much else it's going to affect. Because you're right about all those things, but then isn't it funny how sometimes you get one and then it affects all a whole bunch of other things?
So it sounds like there's a level of cons like anxiety concern, or is it just
Yeah.
there probably is, because I'm
Anxiety
thinking
and
how many horses I brought into the round corral, and you just start moving around, and either A, before you've put any pressure on them, or they're really necessarily distracted looking at other horses. It's just, okay, here's where I run around with my
that's right.
nose on.
Exactly. That's a great point. It's a great point because I'm it there are two things. Yes, Michael, this is a great point. So one situation is that the cues are I do X, like this is what I should do when I come in here. Okay, so that's one thing. That's not what I'm talking about because she doesn't know what to do. It obviously never was a thing where she knew what to do. It's just anxiety. And for those of you guys that don't know, I have a little pint-sized Lipizzan, like really and truly, she's a pony. And the longer we're together, the more obvious it is to me how defensive she is, kind of because she has to be. That is her only line of defense if she's not ahead of it. And then there are times, and I guarantee you the round pen has been one of them, partially from the data points that I've been told. And I'm pretty sure I'm right about it, is that she has been bullied pretty severely in the round pen. I don't think she's been physically beaten or anything like that, but I don't think. So you follow me? Like some horses, they just think, oh, okay, this is what I should do. I don't know. This is what I
So
should do.
bullied, like when I think of bullied, I think kind of been made to do it, but there's a lot of resentment because there wasn't a heck of a lot of feel in it. Like kind of scared, but
I
almost
mean,
angry about it because there isn't feel or a lot of understanding. I mean, that's what I think of when I hear bullied, but what do you put more words to it of what you're feeling in her?
it's hard to describe the difference. I don't know. I don't want to dwell too much on like what I think had happened to her, but I
Not so
this
much.
is this is the I think that she thinks that she could be hurt kind of a lot, in the sense that she's always on the edge of someone could severely hurt her, and she would be in a situation where she cannot defend herself because she's just so small. I don't know, that's not a good, but in terms of bully, you could bully a big, huge, giant Warmblood or Zoro, you could just kind of force him to do things, but it's not the same as lording over something that you could really hurt. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. There's something I can't quite put my finger on. But even as much as she trusts me, it'll be interesting to see as the years go by what transpires. Because, like, for instance, being in the round pen has really been, you could see it as a setback for how confident she is, how defensive she is, how soft she is. You guys remember I was saying just a couple weeks ago how snuggly she was getting, how let down, how like it was more levels of softness in her just being around her than I'd ever felt. And how many years have we, she and I have been together? 3, 2.5 years or something like that. And this really caused her to be like to rewind some of how she feels, which makes sense. But I also feel like it is the right thing to do. I think that when I can show her it's the whole experience can be peaceful and successful and awesome, I think we'll be ahead of the game. I think I wouldn't have gone there right away because it just would have been a lot to you if you had to, if that was your only place to be. But I just think of how much success we've had, or how many good experiences we've had that we can rely on together.
It'll be interesting how quickly she gets through that. Over against
It's
if you
so.
kind of started there and said, it just happened to start
I
there,
know.
maybe. Oh,
I know.
I need
Hard to
to.
know. Maybe it would have been better.
Well, then your first video, wasn't she in a round corral when you kind of were like,
She was.
self
She
contact or
definitely.
something?
She. She
But you
definitely
weren't
was.
doing anything to. I mean, you were just kind of wandering around and waiting for her to acknowledge you.
And she did have a few reactions to that. Well, I could just say, and maybe she definitely was different about that round pen than she is about mine. Like you can see her even going through the gate. So mine's wood, maybe, who knows? It's so hard to know. But you can just tell that her whole affect changes.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I've
That's
definitely felt
interesting.
that. Definitely felt that before with different horses. Interesting that it would just that you feel it so much there than initially.
It's
I mean, I suppose because there's probably more peace and connection, so the contrast is greater, whereas there wasn't much connection.
And you could see her get bothered in the round pen up there when, but it wasn't the same as, yeah, I think you're right. It's like just be, it's one thing to be like all mellow up in the arena, all the places, and then you go towards like going through the gate, and the, even just going through the gate, she used to just go, you, I mean, you're like, what? Like, I wish you could. Now, what is it that you're concerned about? Jean, Jeannie, I would just so love to be like, let's talk about what it is that's bothering you. But anyway, the only reason I bring that up, I suppose, is because even in a situation where you can, where you're getting along in lots of different ways, then you could end up, for whatever reason, in a set of circumstances where one has to reassess and be like, okay, well, I don't know. We've been getting on and riding off, no problem. And yet, got on and rode off. And it's like, oh, she needs all her groundwork. Okay.
You mean once you brown crow?
Yeah, like for real. Maybe not every day. I don't know. I don't know yet, you know, but I'll report back. But like I had this vision, considering what she and I are doing together, I had this vision of being able to, you know, pitch the reins or maybe ride around in a halter, walk track canter, do some changes of direction, follow my legs, you know, just in a situation where I could just turn her loose a bit more, right? Not have to steer and use the fence to give us some direction. And instead of that, ending up where it's like, oh, okay, so let's see what happens when I get off of you and move you around. And it's like day one, can't handle the rope being thrown over your back. I didn't even have a flag out there. Now it came together. Of course, it's going to. If you need it, you need it. If you don't, you don't. What is he thinking, do you suppose, you guys?
Ooh, everybody should guess.
My cute little horsey, and you guys know all I want is of course to just hug her and snuggle with her, like she's so small and cute and fuzzy right now, and you know, I would say, oh, that's because you're a girl. It's like, well, yeah, I'm just admitting what I want to do now as a reasonably educated aspiring horseman. I understand that there are other things that need to happen in order for her to actually feel better. But really, I just want to be like, oh, you're okay. Give me a hug and I'll hold your hand a bit. You know?
And hopefully that's enough.
Yeah. I just. That's what I want to do. So we have to do it in a horseman-like way. But really, as it relates to the difference between doing your groundwork in the middle of the arena, your groundwork at the edge of the arena, you know, having things a certain way accurately in a certain environment, change environments and things are different, oscillating between what needs to happen and what doesn't need to happen, not having to do your groundwork on the pavement, ideally. Ha ha. Susan says the concrete things are barricades. A barricade is like something you would put in front of a castle wall, the castle gate,
Susan,
so nobody can get
are you
in.
thinking of the concrete dividers when they do the
Oh,
construction? Okay, that I would call a barricade.
yeah.
But I think to us, a pylon is like Emma said, like a foundation element that sinks down into something.
Joanne says it's an Eastern or Ontario interpretation. Huh? Interesting. So interesting. Okay, wait.
So what was I thinking? Did anyone weigh in?
Well, nobody has yet, but Corey did say Whitney was and still is a bit totally different in the round pen too, which makes sense now that I know what she's experienced in one. And the sad face. I know it sucks, right? It's the same when I step it up under saddle sometimes too. The anxiety goes up. Oh yeah. So Whitney, her horse, definitely has feelings of what she's lived before. So does Novella. Like you guys have, I've heard, told you the stories about her just thinking I was gonna punch her in the face when I would do certain. Like you could just tell. She's just. You're like, oh, girl, that's not how it's going to be. But it's been a long time since. And it's interesting that so many things are in place and we do have the experiences together that we have. And yet this association is so strong. And she was, it's not like she was completely melting down when I was riding her in there, but it wasn't good. Like it just progressively, I noticed as the things were, I wanted it to be a certain way, like it should have been a certain way. Eventually, I'm like, this is weird. Like, what is going on? And but I'd seen her before have these kinds of reactions. It's been better since I've spent undemanding time with her in there and all that. But anyway, like I said, it'd be like, okay, let me just check and get off. Let's just check the groundwork, right? I'm saying things are falling apart in the scary corner and be like, okay, well, what's happening here? And it's exactly what you were saying then with that other horse that had been blown up or fuzzed up or whatever. Then it's like, well, nothing's working, right? So with Novella, I'm just gonna go back to like, all right, so none of this checks out. Let's just start from the beginning, and I should click along because it's all on the menu. But I got suspicious, like. Anyway, so what were you thinking? We have 7 minutes. The stage is yours.
Thinking, I mean, you said it a couple of times of, get on the ground and check it out. And we were talking earlier with Ren, the Andalusian mare. Like it worked because it was accurate. It wasn't just, even though it was happening quick and changing quick and it felt a little bit chaotic, it wasn't chaotic because she was right on it. It wasn't like we were just in constant crashing into another conflict. Riding Heidi out when I'm not on the pavement, and like the first few times riding her out, we went up to this corner where there's kind of sandy gravel, not a lot of grass, and just did short serpentines over and over. And the bobcat was running by carrying piles of, grapple fork worth of sticks. And I mean, it was kind of a high stress situation, but there we were just doing short serpentines, and we'd practiced them some, so she had the idea, and she wasn't just, yeah, it was on the menu. It was not like locked in solid on the menu, but it was like, okay, here's where we're gonna use it. But if I had tried to do more than that, say a hindquarter forequarter, even though it was pretty good, kind of the same as Ren, I don't think it would have been enough to keep her mind. She could have been thinking elsewhere, at least at that stage while doing it. And groundwork wise, yeah, if I'd hopped off, I probably would have been able to get her mind with me a little better, a little quicker. But just, thinking in terms of I got a limited amount of time with these horses too. It's like, well, to what extent do you go? And I'm confident enough to do so. I'm going to work through this on your back, even if it feels like you're kind of spooling up inside there. She's so funny when she jumps. I mean, because she is a pony. Like, she's not probably, well, I suppose she probably is pony size. I don't know. She doesn't feel small because she's solid, but it's kind of just this leap in the air.
You're welcome, Caroline. It's great to see you here live this morning. Now that you're, yeah.
But just thinking about getting off, staying on, what what level of quality do you have
That's right.
to make this resource useful
That's right.
in this stressful situation that it's not just kind of adding more concern to the mix
That's
if
right.
you're not good at it?
That's right. A simple example, you guys, is if your one rein stops are comforting and soothing and turn your horse loose, a dream, right? You're gonna have one result. If they're half-assed, none of you guys, I'm sure, do it like this, but I have it where it's really just not good. They kind of get done, but it doesn't go through the whole horse. It doesn't melt them. It's not on time, all those things. Well, then when things are ratcheted up a little bit, then you're like, oh, damn
So,
this actually makes things worse,
well, that's what
not
I'm
better.
thinking. Okay, so there's a good topic with Heidi in the last 2 minutes we have. Because that's another one. Now we're transferring it to riding, but it's the same doing a hindquarter yield, just like you saw in that video or whatever we were describing, kind of first thing. Hindquarter yield is comforting, is balancing, is soothing. When we're not under duress, as soon as we're not under duress, I still can absolutely get a hindquarter yield and keep her from running off with me, or keep her from, as soon as she does her leap before she hits the ground, we're, already bending and ready to move the hindquarters, sort of thing.
Which is nice.
Which is.
I've seen Michael get on horses, you guys, that I'm like, aren't you worried? Like, and he goes, no, I have the hindquarters. That's all I need. And I'm just thinking, like, he'll crawl on. I remember a blue roan, I think in Dayton or something. It was like a cold star. I don't know. But like, he goes to crawl on this horse and she's like this. He's like, it's fine. I have the hindquarters. And it was. Because every time she'd get tight, he'd bend her and roll her over behind, and it was better. But I'm thinking I would not crawl on that thing right now.
So when
He looks
you get straight. So back to this, since we only have a minute now. Heidi, you go to roll the hindquarters and under duress still have the hindquarters. Probably not as good. Maybe a little bit more draw on that rein to make sure it connects. Maybe a little bit more having to do with the leg to say, hey, no, stick with here. But she's absolutely not soft through her whole body. Her jaw is locked in on that right side, where that jaw is just, you're bending me to the right, I'm flexing, it's going in the hind end. But that piece, that is, I mean, that was the first thing I saw with her. It is the most persistent thing that, is so much better. Like, at first, there was no doing anything with her without her jaw being crooked there. And so have made so much progress. But that would be another one of those, just like, what is it going to take for this to be transferable? Because you can guarantee if she's doing that in your one rein stops under duress, there's only a certain amount of peace to be found in a rectangle it has her going like that. You know?
That's right.
So if the rectangle falls apart even to that small degree under duress, like, how much are you really helping?
Right. And that's where I'll just take Bonnie, the little pinto, you guys, that I have, that she's a good example of when things are correct, which is way harder, has been way harder for me to find. Gary Bailey is the one who helped me. I mean, like, I watch the stuff that I do with Bonnie, the videos, you know, that I've done, you guys, for Horsemanship Insider, and it's like all of that. The qualities that I needed to get through to her, I for sure learned from me. I think I said that on the video. Like, it's like, absolutely. But this is my point, is when it is, there's those two different versions. One of them's 90% right, and one of them's 100% right. And if it's 100% right, then even though things might fall apart, you can, it will work, right? Whereas if it's 90% right and things fall apart, it's a much harder road to hoe. So we keep learning, you guys, right? We keep chipping away and knowing that the qualities, as we get better, as our timing gets better, as our understanding of what is complete gets better, our results will get better.
Yeah, and it's, some knowledge is better than no knowledge, but the more tricky the horse, the more tricky the situation, the more complicated the horse is past, or the more, you know, whatever, complicated your relationship and the buttons that your horse pushes in you, and that your responses triggering a horse makes it more, less likely that just a little knowledge is going to get you where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Julie about that this morning, like I was helping a gal yesterday, and now we are 2 minutes over. talking to a gal, or helping a gal yesterday, was here for a lesson. And it's just kind of comical. Like, he's good at this, and this is the thing I'm working on. He's, you know, what it amounts to is he wasn't pushy, but he's just walking all over her. It's just like, oh, there's just the frame of reference and the expectations are not trying to disparage her at all, but it, like, from my perspective, it's like, how clueless can you be? Like, that's not acceptable, right? Normal, right? So I mean I shouldn't use the clueless, but from my perspective, it's like, how can that be okay?
Yeah.
Like, that is so far from not clear.
Sure.
I mean, pushing him into you with his nose. I mean, he's bumping into you with his shoulder. You're standing literally under his neck.
You wonder, like, if maybe in those situations it was super interesting to show someone a video. You know, just to be like, is this, like, are you aware that this is what it looks like? Because I would guess in a lot of situations, it's like, oh my God, no, I did not think that that was what was happening.
So,
and especially if you don't have a frame of reference for what it is like for the horse to have a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
just like,
so that's what I was talking to Julie about, is the kind of the, a little bit of that, the frame of reference, but like, what's enough to truly be helpful? Because, like, someone who doesn't know, like, Levi's friend is starting lessons. She's never been around horses. I mean, she's just like this little kid. And so it's like, get the horse off of you and, you know, get him to move forward and around you. And Brody's pretty willing and it's confusing. He's like, well, what do you want? But, like, of course, I'm not doing anything outside of get the horse to move away away from you, and when you move the hind, walk toward the hind end, your arm goes like this and try to see that foot. And that's like all she could handle, right? So of course you start there. But like this gal yesterday, if I, well, she had the, once she stopped talking to me and got the horse off her, she could get her horse to go around her. She could get it to move the hindquarters. She could kind of sort of move the front end. She could back it up, but the horse was just, I mean, it was kind of the same story. He's very distractible and he's with me and then suddenly he's not. And, he throws his head up when I go to bridle him. And it's like, well, yeah, but the whole tone of the relationship is him pushing on you. So if we're going to change any of that, there has to be a certain level of quality that is always up leveling, right? Like you just said, we start where we are and we're always looking to be better. And as you know better, you do better. As you see what more balance and, arrangement relative to your requests and energy can look like, you strive for that. So I don't know, there's no answer to it, but what's the minimum level of quality for anything to be helpful? I mean, it depends on the person, it depends on the horse
That's right.
and what your expectations are. If your expectations are this horse is going to walk on me and I don't realize they're walking on me and we just kind of get along because this horse isn't dangerous, although from my perspective them walking on you isn't exactly safe, but they're not like spooky and running over you or kicking at you or whatever as their general mode of going. Okay, well, so okay. Like you would just want the horse to be kind of right up in your space, but then you want help, you want their head to be in a better position for bridling. It's like has nothing to do with the bridling. It has everything to do with is this horse paying attention to you? I mean, it's the same thing back to Ren. Like she was doing it perfectly, but she wasn't paying attention. And so here it's like he wasn't doing it perfectly physically, but it was also so much of you gotta pay attention to me and not take over and push in. So I don't know. It's an interesting question of how much does one need to know to help someone else, and how much does someone need to know to help their horse? There's no answer, but
Well, there's probably lots of answers.
yes, there's no one answer.
That's right. No, that's right.
Because that
Well,
would
we'll have to
too
think about
depend on your perspective.
Yeah,
Your
for
knowledge.
it's so relative, right? Because a person can know a lot and be having lots of results and what and yet comparing that to what is possible can seem like an ocean.
And people
So,
can know a lot and get a lot done and be working on a ranch successfully or winning ribbons, be the top of their game. And, by some of our standards going, wow, it's just not what I would want
that's
to
right,
carry
and
forward.
that is the deal, right? What is it that you want? Yeah, and I would caution everyone to try to decide that on your own, not because somebody else wants it, because that won't carry you. Pretending you want something that somebody else wants won't carry you. But speaking of helping people, next Thursday morning, I will be at Michael's house in River Falls, Wisconsin. So, but class, the clinic starts Thursday. So, Michael and I are going to do the show. Do we need to move it earlier? I feel like we
We do,
should.
yeah.
I feel like we should. What time should we move it
Sorry,
to?
all you West Coast folks.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to do a long show. I think we should do a short show, but we probably should move it to 7, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next Thursday morning, 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
7 o'clock Central.
And we'll be live from Michael Sparling's place at Bellwether Farm. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing all of you guys there next week. Super looking forward to you. So, and your horses, of course. That will be great. And let me know who wants flags, because I only have a few. So please let me know who wants those. Anything else, Michael Sparling? All right.
Looking forward to
Bye.
having you here.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. It's always so much easier when I can see in real life.
Oh, this isn't what you're talking about seeing, but we have had almost no snow all year, and now we have 5 inches, and it may or may not be here when you get here, but it's normally there's snow like a lot all year, and this snow is just like, oh, snow. Because we've like not had snow for like
I get
40s
it.
and 50s, it's like, this is so nice.
It's still gonna be only lows of like 22, I saw
Yeah,
next week.
it's gonna be, I mean, the arena is 60, so you're gonna be comfortable.
Sweet. I just yes. It's gonna be great. Am I riding DeGoma?
Sure.
Somebody. I need my normal point of view where I can't see anything.
DeGalmo or Brody, but yeah, DeGalmo, he's not
Yeah,
finished,
whoever.
but you can.
Sit on him. That's the most important thing.
Can sit on him and you can do all the stuff. You wanted to go.
No, you guys are going to be doing the
I
stuff. I don't need to do the stuff.
know.
All right, everybody. Well, we'll see you next Thursday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
7 o'clock Central.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah.